We begin the current Dav Masech the site of Dav Lamed Hey. We begin on the bottom line of Dav Lamed Dalam Beis, where the Gemara continues with the discussion from the previous Dav, discussing the Meraglim regarding the spies that Moshe Rabbeinu sent in the Eretz Canaan when they were on the way into Eretz Yisrael from the Midbar. Now the Pasuk says in the Midbar that Vayeshuvu Mitua Oretz, that when the spies came back from checking out the land of Eretz Yisrael, so then the next Pasuk continues as we continue on top of Lamed Hey Aleph, says Vayelchu Vayuvayu, that they went and they came, as the Pasuk says over there in Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Chavav, to Moshe and Aaron, to the whole entire Jewish people, to return the word that they, you know, the reports that they had about the land of Eretz Yisrael. Now, the thing is that the word Vayelchu, that they went, is seemingly superfluous. Because the Pasuk already said previously by Yeshuva that they already came back. So it should have just said Vayevoyol Moshe. Why is it that they went and they came to Moshe? So on that, what the Pasuk is doing is, it's equating, it's comparing their going, meaning when they originally set out on their journey and their mission to spy out Eretz Yisrael, labia to their coming, to their returning, when they came back from their spying. Which tells you, ma bia beitzara, just like when they came, as we see, as it's written in the Torah, that they came back with a bad report, afalicha beitzara, so too, then they started their journey, their intention actually was to find bad things. And that's what they ended up doing when they came back. So it wasn't just something that happened at the end. This actually is comparing it to Vayelchu. When they left, they also had those intentions to find bad reports about Eretz Yisrael. Now the Pasuk afterwards says, Vayisaproloi, that they said to him, to Moshe, Vayemer, and they said, Banu, Vagurma, that we came, as the Pasuk there ends over there in Pasuk HaZayin, Ela Oretz, Asher Shlachtonu, to the land that you sent us to. Vigam Zav Aschol V'Dvashi, and you're right, it's a land that's flowing with milk and honey. V'zeb Perya, and these are its fruits. And they came, they brought back the fruits, as we explained in the previous staff, how many people it took just to carry one cluster of grapes. Now, on this, Uksivan, and then it says, on the Pasuk after that, it says, Ephes, however, Ki Aza Om, but the nation is very mighty, and as they go on to say how great and the giants were, and it's frightening that these are people that are impossible to win. So Amar B'Yechin Rechlin points out the contrast of these two Pesukim. Now, Simon and Amonik for these statements that Rabbi Yechinen says in the name of Rabbi Meir in this Masechta is Emes, Levadoi, which actually is brought in the side of the Gemara, that actually the word is Lechadoi, and Levaya, which again, these are the statements Rabbi Yechinen says in the name of Rabbi Meir in this Masechta. One is the one over here. Emes is the one that we're discussing over here about saying the truth. Lechadoi is later on the Membeis Membeis, and Levaya is on Mem Bava Membeis. So either way, Rabbi Yechinen says Meshur Rameya in the name of Rameya. Says we see the following dynamic in what the Meraglim did. Koloshin horror she'im b'dvar emes b'tchilasei. Any gossip, slander, any bad saying that doesn't have some truth in the beginning, ein miskayim b'soifai. It won't have sustain itself at the end. In other words, because whoever's going to hear them is going to consider what they're saying as liars. Now, therefore, they started off with some truth, so that the people should believe them. Now that's the same thing by the Meraglim. They first started saying all the praise about Eretz Yisrael. And they said, you know what? You're right, it's a land of Eretz Ovis Chol Advash. Everyone's listening, wow, this is truth. And then they come in for the Lashon Hara. And then they say, oh, but, and that's what he's saying, because if you don't have Devar Emes B'Tchilasai, it won't last. So you have to start off with some truth. Now the Pasuk there says, Vayaz Kolev Esa'am, that Kolev silenced the people, El Moshe, to Moshe. Now, what does that mean? It sounds like that he's saying that regarding the words that he started talking about Moshe, that's how he silenced them. Now, the reason being is because the people thought that Kolb is going to join on the bandwagon and start saying about derogatory things about Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, what was Kolb's intention? So Amar Rabbi explains, and this is where he comes from the word Vayahas, Shehesisan B'Dvarim, that he appeased, he seduced, he enticed the people with the words that he said, as the Gemara is going to explain. And the reason is as follows. Because Kalev saw that Yeshua wanted to talk. He wanted to defend Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu, what's going on with the other Temeragim? They're killing everything over here. But Pasach Yeshua de Kamishtai. So Yeshua opened up and they wanted to start talking. Now the problem is that everyone quickly shut him up very quickly. Because Amrilei, the people said to Yeshua, ha, Dein Rosh Ketiah, this guy who has his head cut off, in other words, he doesn't have any sons who are going to take a portion, inheritance in Eretz Yisrael, Yemalil, he's going to talk in front of us. In other words, he's going to defend our going to Eretz Yisrael. You have no say in the matter. You don't even have someone that's going to take a portion of Eretz Yisrael. Of course you're defending it. We're the ones that are going to have to live with this reality. So Amar, so Kalev said when he heard this that they were shutting up Yeshua, said, Imish to Inif, I'm going to talk. Amri bi Milsi, v'chas min li. They're going to say something about me, and they're going to shut me up. They're going to silence me too. You can find something, a flaw in anybody. So Amalahan, so he said to the Mitzvahs, said, and this is what the words El Moshe is. Chizubul vad asulon ben Amri. You think, and only this that the son of Amram is doing for us? Now, Savri, the people thought, Bignuse komishtoi, that he's going to say another bad thing about Moshe Rabbeinu. Everyone's saying, oh, what are you doing, Moshe, taking us into such a land? Eretz Achelis Yishveha. And he says, you think this is the only thing that he did for us? So Yishtuk, everyone became quiet. Let's hear more. Amaluhu, he said to them, Haitzianu Mimitzrayim, you took us out of Egypt. V'karlonas Hayam, and he split the Yamsa for us. V'chalonas Hamon, and he gave us man to eat, food flying, coming from the heavens. And therefore, said Kaliv, Im Yomer Asu Sulamis, V'alu Rekia, if Moshe Rabbeinu will tell us to make ladders and to climb up to the heavens, Lo Nishmalei, we're not going to listen to him. And therefore, as the Pasuk there says, we will go up even to heavens if he tells us to, via rational Yisavagam, and we will inherit this land. So that's what Kalev's tactic was. He was saying things which sounded like, well, you think this is all that he did? So everyone was silent and let him talk. And then he said the good things in defense of Moshe Rabbeinu. Now the Pasuk there says, but the men that had gone up to Eretz Yisrael with him said, they refuted what Kalev said. They said, no, lo yinuchal v'gemer. We cannot, as the Pasuk there says, Lala Salam, go up and to fight this nation. As the Pasuk there ends in Pasuk Lam and Alf, Kichazakumi Manu, because they're stronger than us. Now, Amr Reb Chanina Bar Papa says, Davr Gadol Dibu Miraglim Baisacha, very weighty and mighty thing that they say at that moment, very audacious. And Kichazakumi Manu, when they said because they're greater Mimenu, although it's generally translated as us, they meant from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Al-Tikru Mimenu, don't read it from us, Ela Mimenu, but rather from him. Which actually, Rashi says not to have this girsa, because there's actually no difference in the recital of the word Mimenu, whether it's going on an individual, which is that's who they're talking about, Hashem, or on the many people, which they're saying about themselves. It's just, however, the concept is dear, where the Mimenu is not interpreted on us, but rather they were saying Mimenu, from him. Kiviyachol, so to speak, even the homeowner can't get his vessels out of there. In other words, if he deposited over there, the balabais, which is the master of the world, that was saying chas hashalom, can't get it out of there. He himself can't get those nations out of there. That's how mighty they are. Now they said, Eretz Achilles Yeshvehi, that this is a land which consumes and eats up its inhabitants. Now Darash Rav expounded, he says, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kadosh Baruch Hu said, Anicha Shavti L'Toyva. When this that they saw, that people were dying and it seemed like the earth is just swallowing up its inhabitants, I was thinking to do something good for them. V'heim chash v'lera, and they interpreted it as something bad. As the Gemara explains, Ani chashavti l'toyva, I considered it as a good thing, that I showed them as if it was a land that was eating up its inhabitants, that people were constantly dying when they came there, where the cholhecha the matu, wherever they reached, the miraglim, meis chashiv d'tu, one of the dignitaries of the nobility of the town, died. Now, why did Hashem do this? So that people should be perturbed and be busy, and they won't be asking, who are these people, these foreigners coming in over here? Or ve'ikadami, that those that say that Eiv Nachnavshe, the great Eiv, he passed away, and that so that his marriage should not protect over the inhabitants of Eretz Canaan, and that's actually what Kalev said, that Sar Tzila Me'aleim, their shade has been removed, where the great person Eiv was Nifter, and therefore not protecting them anymore. And v'tridu kol ha'am v'espeid, so the whole entire nation was busy eulogizing Eiv. Ha'im chash v'l'ra, but they interpreted it as bad. And they said, oh, Eretz Achilles Yishveh, what are we doing? Going to a land that it swallows up its inhabitants? It's a bad place. And therefore Hashem says that this is one of the bad things, the Lashon Hara, that they were doing with. You're able to give a slant, an interpretation for the bad when really it was a good thing. Now they also said, v'nehi ba'aneinu kechagavim, that we were in our own eyes like grasshoppers. And so too were we in their eyes, because they're such giants. We were like little grasshoppers. We can't come close to them. So Amar Rav Misharshia, he says, Miraglim Shakri Hav. He says, the Miraglim you see from this passage, we're liars. Because Bishlam Ebenei Benenu Kechagavim L'chayei. We could understand that this part of the passage that they said that we were in our own eyes like grasshoppers, that's fine. But this that they said that so were we in their eyes, how do they know that? Obviously they're liars. And therefore, this discredits them. But the Gemara says, actually, Wallahi, it's not true. They actually, in this statement, they weren't lying, because they actually heard from the Amorim that called them grasshoppers. How so? Because Kevamavri Aveli, that when the Amorim were coming back from the cemetery, as we just said before, because wherever they went, the leaders were passing away. So they would feed the mourner a meal to console him and to comfort him. Tute arzi havamavri. They would go ahead and feed them under the cedar tree after they came back from the cemetery. Now v'chichazinu, but when they saw them, and they were afraid to stand in the front of these great giants, so the meraglim were solku yasvi bilani. They went up and they sat in the trees. Now shami dikarmi, they heard these giants of men saying to each other, kichazinu ninchi did damal kam to bilani. Look at this. Such an interesting phenomena. I see I see men in the form, in other words, in the size of grasshoppers in the trees. And that's such an interesting thing. What are these little grasshopper-looking men doing in the trees? And therefore, in this idea, they weren't lying, because actually they heard them saying that about them, about the Meraglim themselves. Now, the Pasuk reports that, so after the Meraglim gave this Lashon Hara, it says, V'tisa kala eda, that entire assembly, the Jewish people, they lifted up, V'yitnu es kailam yifko, and they gave out their voice and they cried because of this terrible calamity that they have to go into this bad land. Now, Amar Abba, Amar Birchanan says, Oise hayoim erev Tisha B'Avayi. That day was the evening of the 9th of Av. And Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Heim b'ochu b'chir shalchin. They're crying for nothing, because it's not true. This is not something to cry over. This is a good land. And I'm going to establish this time as crying for the generations, as we know that the two Chorbanos of the Beis HaMikdash were at this time, and many tragedies befell the Jewish people on the 9th of Av. Now, moreover, the Pasuk says, V'yemer kol ha'eda, and the entire assembly said, Lir gemoisim bavanim, to stone them, Yeshua and Kalev, because of this that they were trying to defend and have them go into Eretz Yisrael. Now, Chassid, it says in the next Pasuk, Uchvayda Hashem nirbo el moed, and then the glory of Hashem revealed itself in Oil Maid, and that was to say that the Jewish people lost their chance of going into Eretz Yisrael right now. However, Amar Chibar Abba, he says this following teaching based on the Smichas Apsukim. Says, Malamed teaches us, Shenatlu Avanim v'zorkum kal b'mal. They actually took stones that threw towards heaven, meaning Chasam towards Hashem. In other words, that they wanted a stone, when it says Oysam, it's actually going on Lirgum Oysam b'avan m'chveid Hashem. That they actually wanted to throw it towards the glory of Hashem. Now the Pasuk then says, V'yimusu anoshim etziya dibes ha'aretz ra'a b'magefa, that those men who had given bad reports about Eretz Yisrael, they died in the plague. Now, it doesn't say b'magefa. It rather says b'magefa with a pasach, which the pasach always connotes something distinct, something that's fitting for this situation, which, as the Gemara explains, was midi k'neged midi, that they died specifically in a way fitting for the way that of this type of sin that they had done. Where Amr B'Shem Malakash, he says, Shemisa B'Misa Mishunah, they died in a very deviant type of a way, which is Amr B'Chanina Bar Papa, says, Darash Rabshili Ishkavar Tamarta, Melamedis comes to teach us, Shenishtarviv L'Shoinim B'Nofal Ativorim, that their tongue, after they died, hung out and fell on their stomachs. V'hoi Talam Yoytis M'L'Shoinim B'Nechnosas B'Tivorim, and worms were coming out from their tongue and going into their belly, from the belly going into their tongue, again, obviously related to the Lashon Hara that they had said. But Nachman Yitzchok says, Ba'asker Mesu, that they died in this death of Asker, which is some type of a choking in the throat, which again, as Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos, Dalam Gimel Beis, comes for someone that talks Lashon Hara, and that's why it's related to the area of the throat. Now the Gemara returns to the discussion that we had previously, which is the end of the brisa that we had quoted on the previous daf, is just because we had been discussing regarding the avanim, the stones that were there by the yardin, which was, the Gemara mentioned how heavy they were and how much they were able to carry, and then the Gemara there said, oh, mechashav le'eshkol, from there you could calculate how heavy was the cluster of grapes that was carried by eight of the meraglim, and therefore it got into the, segued into the discussion of the meraglim, now that we continue with that brisa discussing the crossing of the yardin. So the Brisa says, "V'kivin sha'ala achron should be stolen in the Yarden." Once the last of the Jewish people crossed over the Jordan River into the western part of Eretz Yisrael, chazur mayim l'mekayman. So then the water went back to its original place, and that's because the Kahanim were standing there until the last of the Jewish people crossed over. Shneimak, it says the pasuk in Yeshua, it says, "V'yehi ba'loisa kahayanim noisa run brisa Hashem mitoch Yarden." That it was that when the Kahanim, those who had carried the Aron, the Ark of the Covenant of Hashem from within the Yarden, from the Jordan River, Nitku kapis ragla kahan macharava, that they removed their soles of the feet of the kahanim to the dry land. In other words, they took a step backwards, back onto the eastern side of the Jordan River. And by Yeshuva Mihayadul Mukaima, and then the waters of the Jordan came back to their place. Then it went back as it was the day before, and the day before that, on all its banks, the water continued flowing. Now it says the Braisa Nimtza comes out that Aron v'Noisav Kahanim Tzad Echad, that the ark and those who carried them, the Kahanim, were on one side, on the eastern side of the Jordan River, because they had just stepped in and the water stopped, and the Jewish people crossed over to the western part, and then they took a step back and the water came back, and we saw Mitzad Echad, and the Jewish people on the other side, on the western side. So Nasa Aron es Noisav Aver. So then what happened was that the ark carried those who were carrying it, and that's how it crossed over onto the western part of Eretz Yisrael. And that's actually an earlier pasuk, but as Rashi explains, what's called Im Mukta Memucha B'Torah. There's no necessarily sequential description in the Torah. It's actually, although the pasuk is previously, it's actually something that happened afterwards. And then like the pasuk says, V'hikasher Tam Kol Ha'am Lava, that it was after the whole nation finished crossing over. And then it says, V'yava Aron Hashem Ekam Lefnei Ha'am, and then the Ark of Hashem and the Kehanim crossed over in front of the people. That's because the Aron, actually, when it crossed over, flying over by itself, took the Kehanim that were carrying it, thus carrying them. Now, actually, says the Gemara, V'aldavaz Enenesh Uzza, it was actually in this concept that Uzza was punished, which is in a different historical context. Like it says the Pasuk at Divrei Yom Aleph, the Pasuk says, V'yuvayu ad Gorin Kidon, that they came until the threshing house of Kidon. V'yishlach Uzza es yodoy leches es Aron. So Uzza stretched out his hand to grab a hold of the Aron, because as the Pasuk there concludes, Kisham to Abakar, because the cattle, the animals had moved, so it looked like the Aron was going to fall, so he jumped to carry it. So Amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, Uzza, Nois of Nasa, and that's the context that we're just discussing over here by the Yarden, where if it carries those who carry it, in other words, the Aron carried the Kahanim across the Jordan River, Atzma Lekoshkin, do you think it's going to carry itself? So therefore, as the Pasuk says in Shmuel Beis, V'yichar af Hashem b'Uzza v'yakeirushim. So the anger of Hashem flared up against Uzza, and he killed them over there. Al hashal v'gaymer, because of the shal. What shal? So Rabbi Yechon Rabbi Laza, two different interpretations. Chad amar al isker shalu. One says in regards to the thing that happened of shalu, which shalu is a term of shkaga, of mistake. The mistake that he tried to grab a hold of it was that costed him his life. V'chad amar sha'asit shrochem b'fanav. One actually says because he actually took care of his needs, that he relieved himself in front of the Aron, which the word shal is like the pasuk in the Varm says, a term of ki yishal zeisecha, or as the pasuk says, uvishal yasa, which are things that hang down from top to bottom. That's what happens when the person relieves himself, something that's hanging from top to bottom. It's that he had sinned that costed him his life. Now the pasuk says over there, v'yam esham im aron elikim, that he died over there near the ark of Hashem, meaning right there at that moment when they were traveling, bringing the Aron, he died. So Amr B'yechanan, Uzza Bala El Maboy, says that this pasuk tells us that Uzza came to the world to come. Shnem, like it says in the pasuk, Ima Aron Elikim, that he died over there with the Aron Helikim, which tells us, Ma Aron La'ilam Kaim, just like the Aron, lasts forever, because Zegmar and Yuma, Dafnan Bez, and Mabez tells us that it was never destroyed, it was actually hidden away by Yeshayahu. So Uzza to Uzza comes to the next world. Now the pasuk in Shmuel Beis tells us that Beyicha le David ala sheparts Hashem parts beUzza, which literally is translated as that David got angry this that Hashem breached a breach by killing Uzza when they were taking the Aron to bring it to its resting place. Now Amir Belaza says Shenishtanu Ponov Kecharara. What it really means to say is that David HaMelech's face turned the dark color like a dough that's baked on top of coals. Now the Gemara asks, why are you giving such an interpretation? What do you mean? You say wherever it says that someone got angry, which is what the term of yichr means, it doesn't mean that he got angry. It means to say that, like over here, David HaMelech didn't get angry at Hashem. It's just that his face turned black like a dough that's cooked on top of coals. That the Gemara answers no, because Hasam Ksiv Av. Generally, the term Vayichu comes with the term Af. That is Af, his nose, his anger flared up. Hachalik Ksiv Af. It doesn't say Af. It's just Vayichu la David. And therefore, the interpretation is not that he got angry, but that he turned into like a harara, like a biscuit that's cooked on the coals, which is that his face turned this ashen color because of what happened to Uzzah in this, what, when they're having this great joyous time of bringing the Aron, but here came Uzzah and he died. So, and as the Gemara says, Darash Rabbi Rabbi expounded, B'mneiman nenesh David. Why is it that David HaMelech was punished, that Uzzah died because of David's procession of bringing the Aron to its resting place? So that the Gemara said, "Neshekaru l'divrei Torah zmiris," because he said regarding the words of Torah that their songs. Shnomak says the pasuk in Tehillim. So David HaMelech says, "Zmiris hayu li chukecha," that your statutes were to me as songs. Beves Magura, in the place when I was afraid. In other words, when I was running away from my enemies and I was afraid of them, so then I would play and I would be joyous with your statutes, and they were to me like songs that cheered me up. Amalei Kadosh Baruch Hu said to him, "Divrei Torah shekasa ben hasoif einecho by," regarding the words of Torah, which the pasuk says in Mishlei, that hasoif einecho by, which Rashi translates as term of doubling. In other words, that if you double your eyes, in other words, if you close your eyes too many times and you remove your thoughts from looking in the Torah because your eyes are closed, ve'einenu, and then right away it's not anymore, meaning towards of Torah is something you have to be so diligent and so involved with. Atakarios and Zmiris, you're calling it songs, as if it's this like lackadaisical, something that doesn't require the intensity and the dedication as it requires. Hashem says, "I'm going to cause you to stumble even in something that little children know about." Because the Chassid says, a pasuk in Bamidbar, that Moshe Rabbeinu did not give wagons to the sons of Kahas in their service of the transportation of the parts of the Mishkan as he did to the other sons of the tribes of Levi. Because as the pasuk says, their service was that of the holy things, because they had to carry on their shoulder, because they had the Aron, the Shulchan, the Menorah, the Mizbech Hazav, and therefore they don't carry the Aron on a wagon. V'ihu asya bagalta, but David HaMelech made the mistake that even children don't, again, because he called it Zmiris, that he brought it on the wagon, and that's why when he was transporting the Aron in his procession, someone died. That's specifically of Uzzah. Similarly, regarding getting punished for not treating the Aron appropriately, the pasuk says in Shmuel Aleph, V'yach ba'anche Beit Shemesh, that Hashem smite in the men of Beit Shemesh, ki ra'u ba'aron, because they saw the Aron, which again, as Rashi explains, is not going by the incident of David HaMelech. Rather, this is when the Pelishnim, who had taken in captivity the Aron, then there was a lot of bad that was happening to them, to the Philistines. So then they went and they brought it back. They sent it on these cows, and then the cows came back with the Aron on them. So again, we're just bringing this in because we're talking about the proper and appropriate treatment for the Aron. So the question the Gemara asks is, Mishum de Ro, because the people of Beit Shemesh saw and they gazed at the Aron, so Vayach, so therefore they got killed? So that the Gemara explains, Rebbe Vav, Rebbe Lazar. Chad Amar, Kaitzun Mishtachim Hayu. One interpretation says is the reason why they got punished was because they were just reaping and bowing down, but didn't stop working to appropriately honor the Aron. Now, as Rashi explains, although it says the word Ro that they saw, it could also be used in the context of bizoyin, of degradation. As the pasuk says in Shir Hashirim, "Al tiruni, don't look at me in bizoyin and degradation, shanisha shacharit, because I am I'm not in the appropriate type of a way right now." And Vachadam, the other mandama, says that actually mili nama amen. Not only did they not treat it appropriately, they actually said disparaging words to the Aron. As the Gemara continues, amen beis, that they said to the Aron, "Man amriyach diim marias." Who angered you when you got angry and you didn't save yourself from being taken in captivity when the Pelishtim took you? And Uman Asaloch Difayas, and now who appeased you now that you got appeased, that you here you are coming back by yourself on these cows? And again, therefore that was not appropriate for the Aron, and that's why they got killed. So the Pasuk there says, Vayach ba'am shivim ish, chamishim elef ish, that Hashem killed from the people 70 men, 50,000 men. So what is it? Is it 70 or 50,000? So Rebbe Vav, Rebbe Lazar, two different opinions. Chad Amar Shivim Ishai. One says that he killed 70 men. And which one of those 70 were equal in their greatness to 50,000 people? Chad Amar Chamishim Elef Hayu. And one says that there were 50,000 people that were killed. And each one of those 50,000 were equivalent to the 70 men of the Sanhedrin. Now, returning to the discussion that over here that we said that when they were transporting the Aron, when and then by the times of David HaMelech, so then Uzzah died, So the pasuk says 3 months later in Shmuel Beis that when they finally took it out from where they had kept it in the interim after that devastating incident, Uzzah dying, then they continued their transportation to finally bring it where they were going to keep it. When those who were carrying the Ark of Hashem took 6 steps, then they would slaughter an ox and a fatling. Now, however, the pasuk in Dibur Yom Aleph says, where the beginning of that pasuk says, that it was when God was helping the Levim, those who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant of Hashem, and they would slaughter 7 cows. And 7 rams. So what was it? Was it an ox and a fatling? Or was it 7 cows and 7 rams? So Amar Papa Bar Shmuel, he says that, yeah, it depends. Al kol psiu psia shomeri. On every single step that they took was an ox and a fatling. And al kol shesh v'shesh psias shiva par m'shiva elim. But for every 6 steps, then they would slaughter 7 cows and 7 rams. That the Gemara asks, Amalei Rav Chizra, Rav Chizra says, if that was the case, Malay says, kol eretz yisom b'mais. That means you fill up the entire land of Israel with altars, and the reason is because for every step you said, they had to make a mizbeach to bring karbanos. Elamar Rav Chizda, rather, Rav Chizda explains, Akol sheish u'sheish psiyas shemiri, as that pasuk says, for every 6 steps that they took was an ox and a fatling. Now, Akol sheish sedarim shol sheish psiyas, but for every 6 phases of 6 steps was shiva parma shiva elam, then they would have 7 cows and 7 rams. Now, the Gemara asks a similar contradiction from the 2 reports of this incident. Ksiv says in Divrei Yamim, which is Chronicles, which goes through some of the history of the other Svarim that I brought in Ach, it says that Vayivoyo Adgarin Kidin. It calls it that it came to the threshing floor of Kidin. And like, and there it says, Vayishlach Uzzah V'gam, that Uzzah went and he went to stretch out, and that's when he got killed. Now in Sefer Shmuel, however, Ksiv, it says in the Pasuk that they came to Garin Nochin. So did they come to the threshing place of Kidin or Nochin? So Amar Bi'echin, it says that it had 2 different names because Betchila, at the beginning, when the ark had come there, so then Kidin, then the ark was to the Jewish people like a spear which kills because it killed Uzzah. Now Lubisayif, however, at the end, when it stayed there in that place, either after 3 or 6 months in the house of Obed Edom, then Nochin, then it became something appropriate because it actually did good for the household of Eved Edom, where it was kept in the meantime, as the pasuk says, Shmuel Beis Parak Vav, Vayivarech Hashem es Eved Edom, that he blessed him, and each one of them had 6 children, 6 tuplets, every time that they gave birth for all the 8 daughters and his wife, and so on, as the Gemara explains in Pesachas Brachas. So that's why that threshing floor originally was a spear, but at the end is actually something of nothing. Now, the Gemara continues with the end of the brisa that we started off with before. Again, it's just that we had been discussing the brisa on the previous daf, and it discussed that Uzzah got punished, and therefore it interrupted all these things, but now we're returning way back to when it was talking about this continuing over the Yarden, which again, as we said, that was the Oren carried its Nisav, and therefore we said, but that was where Uzzah made that mistake, and therefore we got segued into this discussion. So the brisa concludes and says, Nimtzis ato Eimer. So it comes out that you say that Shlisha Mina Avonim Hayu, that there were 3 types of stones that were regarding having the words of the Torah on it. Echad Sheikem Moshe Be'eretz Moav. One was on the Eivah HaYarden, the other side of the Jordan, meaning the land of Moav on the eastern side of the Jordan River, meaning towards the Midbar. Shem, like it says in the Pasuk in Devarim, says Be'eivah HaYarden Be'eretz Moav, that it was on the other side of the Jordan in the land of Moav, which Rashi explains, especially according to the Girsa of the Bach, that the town of the Braiso, who is in Eretz Canaan, calls the eastern side Eivah HaYarden, the other side of the Jordan. Now, but if, as we find in the Torah, when the Jews were in Arvas Moav or the other travels that they had going from Mitzrayim to Eretz Israel, the land of Canaan was called Eivah HaYarden because that's the other side of the Jordan, which is the western side. So the pasuk says that on the other side of the Jordan, Eretz Moav, Hoyel Moshe Beyer Begoyim, that Moshe Rabbeinu went to explain the words of the Torah. Now, Olahalan Oimer, and the other later pasuk says in Devarim, the Chasavta, and the Gir says Al Havonim, that you should write on the stones, is called Divrei Torah Hazayis, the Gemara, that all the words of the Torah, etc., where the pasuk says and concludes that you should write it a bar hetiv. So Vaasi bar bar, that we learn out bar, the word bar by both of them, which again, as we explain, that in that later time by Yeshua, they wrote the words of the Torah on the stones. So to over here by Moshe Rabbeinu and Arvas Moyev, that he also did the same thing, that he had stones that had explained and written on it the words of the Torah. So that's one. The Echad Shehekim Yeshua B'techa Yarden. One was the stones that Yeshua had placed in the Jordan. Like it says there in the Pasuk in Yeshua, V'shteim Esrei Avonim Hekim Yeshua B'techa Yarden. There were 12 stones that Yeshua had placed in the Jordan. And then finally, V'echad Shehekim HaGilgal. Then there was one group of stones that he placed in Gilgal, which was after they had used these stones that they had taken from the Jordan. And they had built a Mizbeach by Har Evel. Then they went and took it apart and brought it to Gilgal. And they established it there. Something like the Pasuk says in Yeshua, it says, V'shteim Esrei Avonim Ha'ilah Shalakhu B'goyim, that the 12 stones that they had taken. As the Pasuk there says, Min HaYarden, Hekim Yeshua B'Gilgal, those are the stones that Yeshua had put up in Gilgal. So those are the three sets of stones that we have with the Jewish people in regards to their travels and the words of the Torah written on them. So talking about Linda Brisa, Kitzid Kasav Yisrael Esatara, how did the Jewish people write the Torah on the Mizbech, on that altar that they had built by Har Evel, which again, and then they took apart the Mizbech and brought those stones with them to Gilgal. So Rabbi Yehuda, he says, Al Gabi Avan Kazvu, that they wrote it on the stones themselves. Shnei, like it says in the Pasuk in Devarim, it says, V'chasav to Al Avan, Mizkol Divar Torah, as the Pasuk says, what they should do, that you will write on the stones all the words of the Torah. Now, V'achakach Sadu Oysen Besid, and then only afterwards, after that they wrote in it, did they cover it with plaster. Now, Amalei Rabbi Shimon said to him, according to your opinion, how did and could have the nations of the world of that time learned the Torah? In other words, because the whole reason why Hashem had them write the Torah into 70 languages on the stone was so that all the other nations, if they wanted to, could come and learn the Torah. And the reason for that is so that they shouldn't have any excuse to say, oh, we didn't have where to learn Torah from. Of course we couldn't keep your law, Hashem. So therefore, if it was covered afterwards with plaster, so how could they have learned? So Amalai, he responded and he said that that's not a problem because Bini Yisrael Nosam HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave an extra level of insight to the nations of that time where Rishigru Neitirin Shalem, they sent their scribes over there. They killed for Esasid Vesua, that they peeled away the plaster that was covering the words of the Torah on the altar and they copied it. And then they carried it away with them, meaning how they carry it away by copying it over, they were able to carry the content of the Torah with them back. And actually says the Gemara, Val davarze nischatim gzardim lever shachas, actually is because of this, whether that it was, as Reb Shimon said, where it was, they were able to read it straight up, or because they peeled away and they took it with them, that their decree was sealed, that the nations of the world will fall into the pit of destruction, meaning into Gehenna. And the reason being is, shahoyu lehen lamed, v'lo lamed, because they should have learned, because they had the opportunity there. The whole Torah was written for them over there, and they even took it with them, and they didn't learn. Whereas Tosfos wonders that, what do you mean? Everyone knows the famous words of the sages that at the time of the giving of the Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu went to all the nations, and they didn't receive it. For that, they should have been punished. They had the opportunity then also. So that Tosfos actually says that, no, this is actually a greater punishment, because after that, they had it already written, and they were able to see the words. Forget about it. That was when you wanted it or not. Okay, but here they already had the words, and they didn't learn. That was the reason why they were punished. Shimon, I mean, he argues. He says, Al-Gabi Sid Kasvu, he said that it was actually written on the plaster itself. But, and B'chasvu Lahen Lamat, it was written there on the bottom of that tablet. It was written, and as the Pasuk starts early in Devarim, it says, Ki Hachrim Tachrimim, because the Pasuk says that you should kill out and wipe out the inhabitants of Eretz Canaan. Why? So that you shouldn't learn from them all the abominations that they do. Now, Halamadito, what this comes to teach, and this is what they were telling all the other nations, even this from the seven nations of Eretz Canaan, if they lived beyond the boundaries of Eretz Canaan, that they weren't commanded to liquidate them and wipe them out. Only those that lived within the borders did they have to kill, so that they shouldn't learn from their abominable acts. But you, who you live out of Eretz Yisrael, that it's come to teach you, and that's what they were telling the nations, that if you repent and you accept the ways of the Torah, then they would accept them. It's just that those in Eretz Canaan, they couldn't accept because they would only be doing it because out of fear of being killed. So therefore, that's why it was written on the plaster, and it was even written on the bottom to say that you can take these words and live because we don't have to kill out even you from the Shem Ummah, the seven nations, only from those that live in Eretz Canaan. Now, Amar Rava Bar Shila says, my time with Rebbe Shimon, what's the reason Rebbe Shimon that he says that they wrote the words of the Torah on the plaster itself? So, because like it says in the Pasuk in Yeshaya, it says, that the nations are those that are burnt by the plaster. What that means to say is, al iskesid, because of the fact of the plaster. In other words, because the Torah was written on the plaster and it was revealed and they were able to see the words and they didn't learn from it, that's the reason why they get punished. Now, Rabbi Yehuda, however, Rabbi Yehuda gives a different interpretation because he holds actually that they weren't able to read. It was actually beneath the plaster. He learns that pasuk ki sid. The nations get punished like plaster because masid ein lo takana ela sreifa, just like plaster could only be made by burning lime. Af oisim akutim ein lo takana ela sreifa. So to the nations of the world only have a rectification through burning, by going through Gehenim, because as long as they don't convert, they're still called Amim, the other nations, they don't have any portion, rather by getting burnt, just like the plaster. That's the Gemara comments regarding these two different opinions. Come on, Azla Hadatanya. Like, who is it, the following Bryce, that says, where there's a Pasuk in Devarim, where the Pasuk is in reference to fighting wars out of Eretz Yisrael, where, as it says, Kiseitzi L'machama, when you go out to war, which means that you're going out from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz, as the Sifri explains. Kiseitzi L'machama means you're fighting a voluntary war, not a mandatory one of those which you have to wipe out the inhabitants of Eretz Canaan, because Kiseitzi sounds like when you want to, which is obviously Mechamas Roshos, not Mechamas Chayva. So then when you go out, V'shavisa Shivyoi, and you will take captives, what that comes to teach is L'rabbis Kenanim Shebechutz La'aretz, to include even Kenanim. However, but if they live out of Eretz Yisrael, it's coming to say that they're permitted, and you could even, as the Pasuk there is talking about over there, the parasha of Yefas Tayr, you could take a beautiful woman, even if she's a Kenani, that they're not included in this prohibition of Lo Yisachai Kol Neshama, that you can't leave any of them alive, because, as we explained, this Vishavisa is a superfluous Pasuk to teach this concept. What's Vishavisa Shivyai? To say, even Kenanim out of Eretz Yisrael, to say this concept, because if they repent, they could be accepted, and they don't have to be liquidated because they don't live in Eretz Yisrael, they live outside. So that the Gemara continues on top of Lama Vamadav, come on, who's that like? And that says the Gemara, that's Reb Shimon. Like Reb Shimon, who again, as he says, that they had written on the bottom of the Torah that was written on the Mizbeach, that Pasuk, which again he says was to teach, why did he write that thing about who had to be liquidated and wiped out, was to say that only those who live in Eretz Yisrael, they're the ones that are included in Lo Yisachai Kol Neshama, but it was coming to teach that even those from Eretz Canaan, even from the Canaanim, that if they're out of Eretz Yisrael, that they could do tshuva and they could live. But again, Rabbi Yehuda, who didn't say that interpretation, that they wrote that on the bottom, obviously he disagrees with Reb Shimon, and that he holds that the prohibition of Lo Yisachai Kol Neshama, that you have to liquidate all the seven nations, but not only those from Eretz Canaan, but even of those out of Eretz Canaan. And therefore, he's not like this Brisa who says that you're permitted to take in captivity from the extra word Vishavisa, even Canaanim, if they live out of Eretz Yisrael.